her, Karen Reed, gives guidance to the Israelites on how to cope when people around are accused with a crime. It's good to hear you can't be condemned on the word of just one witness. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Do you know, the Old Testament justice was designed to prevent revenge from running away with itself. You take an eye for an eye, and that's the end of it. A tooth for a tooth, and that's the end of it. It's not just tit for tat all the time. And it's designed to stop feuds from escalating out of control. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth in the Old Testament. It's made me think there's got to be another way. Many of you know I'm a head teacher in Portsmouth, and Portsmouth as a city is becoming known as being a restorative city. And restorative practice is used all around the city in order to restore relationships in communities. But restorative practice is not a soft option. When ready, both sides in a conflict need to come together and consider the disagreement that they've had and the impact their actions have on others. There's five things they need to reflect on. They need to reflect on what's happened, what they were thinking about at the time, what their thoughts have been since, who's been affected by their actions and in what way? And what do they now need to do to make things right? In one of the tower blocks in Portsmouth, in a month period, the police have been called to this tower block 200 times to sort out conflicts between neighbours. Portsmouth Mediation Service got involved and were doing a lot of work with the residents in those blocks on the restorative approach. It is now practically unheard of for the police to be called to this tower block. From 200 calls a month to practically nothing. Because people have found another way. They've not just done the tit for tat, the eye for an eye, and the tooth for a tooth. And in the book of Matthew, we see that Jesus is showing us there is another way. You've heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, don't resist an evil person. By the time Jesus came, a lot of the justice would have been a financial payment. So if someone had taken your eye, then actually this is how much an eye is worth, and that's what you pay for them, rather than it being physically taken out. You know, and earlier on in the chapter of Matthew, it says, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, it's the fulfillment of the law. Don't think I've come to abolish the law. I tell you, I have come to fulfill them. So Jesus came to fulfill the laws, but what does that mean for us? I don't know if you've heard the phrase, don't get mad, get even. But again, that's not Jesus' way either. Not about getting mad and getting even. He says, if someone slaps your right cheek, turn the other cheek and let them slap that as well. If someone slapped your right cheek, they would normally slap it with the back of their hand, slapping your right cheek. And that was a real insult, because that meant you were slapping somebody who was inferior to you, possibly a slave or a child or a woman. And you slap them with the back of your hand on the right cheek. And when Jesus said, turn the other cheek, you slap me on my right cheek. You can have my left cheek as well. And slap me as an equal. That's what Jesus is saying. Turn the other cheek so they can slap you as an equal. Better to have no vengeance at all, but a better way is to reflect the patient love of God. Do you know, if somebody slaps you and you slap them back, they're going to slap you again. And if any of you have got children, you'll know that's what happens, isn't it? And when you get involved, one says, but he did it first, or she did it first. So turning the other cheek was one of Jesus' examples of a different way. He then, in this passage, gives a second example. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. This was said at a time when most people wore two garments, a cloak and a tunic. So if somebody wants one of your garments, give them your other one as well. Give them everything you've got. And actually, you're shaming them. You're shaming them, say, actually, have everything. See me in my nakedness. You want everything? Have everything. The rich and the powerful are so often reducing the poor to shame in this world. And it needs to be turned. And the third example, if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. And I'm sure you've heard the saying, go the extra mile. But you know, this is written at a time when there was Roman occupation. And if you were a Roman soldier, you had the right to force civilians to do things for you. And you had the right to force them to carry your equipment for 1 mile. But as a Roman soldier, that was where your right ended. You could not force them to carry your things a second mile. You could only ask people to carry things 1 mile. And Jesus is advising the people, let's turn the tables on them. They want you to do 1 mile, you do two. And actually, what would that Roman soldier think if he says you're seen carrying his things for that second mile, but he's only allowed to make you carry them for 1 mile? What if his officer finds out? When Jesus spoke these things, he would have astounded people sitting on that mount. It astonished him with the news that there is another way, a way that doesn't plot revenge. But you know, not plotting revenge, turning the other cheek, giving everything you have, going the extra mile. That's God's kind of victory. But you know, these three examples here are not an exhaustive list. But I think what they are is showing us that whatever situation we're in, we need to think, what does it mean to reflect God's generosity in this situation? Even though I might be under pressure, I might be under persecution, I might be under provocation, what would God want? What was his way? And is it impossible for us to do that? Well, at one level, yes it is. Because our natural reaction is to want to fight back. But that's not what Jesus did. When he was mocked, he didn't respond. When he was challenged, he told critical and humorous stories that forced people to think differently. When they struck him, he took the pain. When they put the cross on his back, he carried it. And actually, as he was carrying his cross, you get another example of the Roman occupation. His Simon of Cyrene was standing by the side of the road, and as Jesus faltered, the Roman said, "You carry that for him." And Simon had no choice because there was a Roman occupation, and what the Roman said, you did. When they nailed Jesus to the cross, he prayed for them. You know, the Sermon on the Mount that this passage comes from isn't just about us. It's about Jesus himself. This gives us a blueprint for his life. He doesn't expect his followers to do anything that he wouldn't do, to face anything he wouldn't face. This isn't just about how to behave, turn the other cheek, give everything, go the extra mile. It's about discerning the living God and the loving and dying Jesus. And we need to learn to reflect that love into a world that we know needs it so badly. And I just think, for us, a few rules that we can take from this passage. Number one, you don't resent or seek retaliation for any insult. How many of you have had something said and you've taken insult? Even in church. Maybe you've done something in church and people haven't recognised and haven't said thank you, so you go off in a huff. Maybe something wasn't organised perfectly. The notice has gone wrong. So you get offended by it. Go off in a huff. Maybe in your work life. Somebody said something to you, you've taken it as an insult. God's saying, you know, don't resent, don't seek retaliation, keep a clean heart. Number two, don't just stand up on your legal rights. Do more than you need. And number three, think of how we can be a help to others. Let's just stop and reflect on that. Father, as we think about your word and what you say, help us to be a people who don't just want an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Help us to be people who are willing to turn the other cheek. To give everything you've got and to go the extra mile.